if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 336. This is our 2025 Heroes Dubai Desert Classic and the American Express Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA. And welcome to the DP World Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews for both events. We've got Emirates, GC and PGA West strokes gained rankings. Form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models. For all of the golf action this week, all of our content is available across both events completely free of charge with no paywall. We're available on X. You can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are now on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. That'd be wonderful. Please keep them coming. This one is from Matt. And Matt is in New Jersey in the United States of America. I'm not going to do the accent. GBS is a must listen. 5 stars. GBS is a must listen for any golf fan. Their insight into the course, history and field is second to none. The predictor model is a helpful tool that has helped me hit my first outright winner ever. Great news. Now, some of you will remember, I'm just putting this in here because this relates to Matt's comment here, that we talked about a few episodes ago. This was the RSM Classic, Wiffle Ball. What the hell was Wiffle Ball? And Matt is helping us out. For your information, lads, the breakdown of Wiffle Ball was hilarious. Here we go. Wiffle Ball is played with plastic ball and bats. No gloves or helmets, etc. And it's played mostly by kids. Softball, played by girls and by men when they get older. It's got a larger ball that is also softer, hence the name, than a baseball. And the pitcher tosses underhand instead of a full overhand throw. I will continue to listen and be entertained by you three. Best wishes in the new year. Matt, thank you ever so much for your very detailed and very insightful 5-star review.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Matt. What do you reckon? A bit like rounders then? Is that what we were thinking?
Well, so was baseball.
Yeah, softball sounds a bit like rounders with a harder ball, doesn't it? But the ball is bigger than you would with rounders.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks for that, Matt.
I could see you playing wiffle ball, Paul. You're sort of that kind of... plastic bats. That's your kind of level, isn't it?
In years to come, Steve, when we've got our American condos side by side.
I think we should start a home counties wiffle ball league over here in the UK.
Yeah, it'll have to run for about 3 weeks a year in the summer, and that'll be it, because that's the extent of the summer, I think.
Yeah, it's very true. Right, we've got a very packed show. I want you to, in 30 seconds, quickly run through our GBS Majors competition, sponsored by Bet365.
It's a one-and-done, effectively. Pick one name for the Masters, one name for the PGA Championship, one name for the US Open, one name for the Open Championship. Send it to us by email, send it to us on X, send it to us on the dedicated thread on the Facebook group, and you get entered into our league where there are some cash prizes. £150 to the winner, £75 to the second, £25 to the third place entrant over the course of the 4 majors, and it will be translated to currency equivalent if you're not in the UK. Simple as that. Get your entries in. Lots of entries coming through all sources, so please do get involved.
No free pets, paid in cash. And that can't be a bad thing. If you're 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their brand new Bet £10, get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code Paul.
Bonus code is SPORT50, SPORT50.
When registering. Right, I've got a question here for you guys. This one came in on email. Barry has pointed out off mic that this question from Richard Headington, who's in Bristol. Thank you for your time, Richard.
It's tough.
It's a little bit of a hard one. Right. Hi, Steve, Paul and Barry. Thanks for all the hard work you do on this brilliant podcast. Question for you. Every year we get a standout player. Now, I think what he's saying is last year, clearly we had Scottie Scheffler. So if he's asking us who's going to be the Scottie Scheffler of 2025, I think we might struggle because it was a kind of historic year for Scottie. But what the question from Richard asks is, not including Scottie, who do you think could be a standout player in 2025? Mike, Paul, thoughts?
Yeah, well, I actually think there were two standout players last year because right until the end, I don't think Xander was really that far away from Scottie in terms of his achievements during the course of the year. I think when you add it all up, yes, Scottie was the player of the year, but I think it's fair to say that Xander had a standout year. I think if there's a player who's going to move to the next level, and that probably means potentially winning a major championship, then for me it's Ludwig Auber this year. Now, I know that's not particularly groundbreaking because I'm not taking someone who's down in the depths of the world rankings right now to scythe his way through that and to really surprise us. But sitting there in sixth at the moment, Ludwig, he's had his knee op. He's come back. He's impressed in the events that he has played since returning. And, of course, he's just getting himself back up to speed. I think Ryder Cup year, this is going to be a huge year for him. I certainly will be looking at him for how he's playing ahead of all four majors. And I wouldn't be remotely surprised to see him snare one and have a what would be for him a big breakout year. We shall see.
What about you, Barry? Thoughts?
I can't. Ludwig kind of popped into my head as well. It's got to be somebody high up. Obviously, look, Rory's one that's there. He could have an amazing year. He might not, but I feel sailing into dangerous territory whenever I start making predictions for Rory. I think Hideki could have a very good year. That was that was an interesting development in deep low scoring for Hideki the week before last. Yeah, if he stays fit, I think he could. Yeah, I think there could be two more wins left in the bag. I would not bat an eyelid if he won a major.
I think Bryson DeChambeau, and I know he's only going to play in the four majors as far as official tournaments are concerned, but I think Bryson's going to have a big, big year. I think he's going to be challenging in multiple majors. Oakmont feels very Bryson DeChambeau to me. Although he is, of course, defending the US Open, which brings its own problems with it. But a PGA Championship, Quail Hollow, sign me up. I think he was top 10 there on debut. First time he ever played the course on the PGA Tour. So I'm going to just say in there, Bryson DeChambeau. I think he's going to have a stellar year. By the way, I watched a great video from Bryson the other day. They built a sort of green and chipping area in his back garden. And he invited one of his viewers to come there. And they gave him a certain amount of shots, this amateur, to get a hole in one. And if he got a hole in one, they gave him $100,000. And on only his eighth shot over Bryson DeChambeau's house, from his drive over the house onto the green, this guy got it in the hole in on his eighth shot. Won 100K. Question, and I know someone out there is going to know, and this is the perfect kind of question for me. Is it Bermuda grass greens or bent grass greens for Bryson? It could even be Poa, I suppose. So can someone just give me that information, Twitter, whatever. I want to know what kind of green surface is Bryson DeChambeau practicing every day in his back garden. Thank you.
I wonder, obviously it's fake grass, but I wonder if the pros get to that level where the practice greens they have at home, do they want ones with a different, almost a grain in the type of fake grass they have?
Mm. You might even find it's multi-surfaced. Don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure I've read of players who have different greens in their garden of different grass strains.
If the climate can cope, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's in Dallas, so I would assume that they could, potentially.
Mm.
Gets quite cold, I believe. But oh, okay. Could be multi. But someone out there is going to know. So if you could let us know, that'd be fantastic. Right, last week, Sony Open. I was really, really excited Saturday morning. I said to my son, I said, look, I'm in here, Oliver. He's like, yeah. So I've got two players near the top of the leaderboard. I think I'm going to have a good week. I've got a really good feeling about this week. I think we're going to potentially, going to fight for the win. And then, of course, on Saturday night, Sepp Straka threw in a triple bogey on a par three. And Tom Kim. Don't like Tom Kim on windy conditions, it has to be said. Do not like Tom Kim in windy conditions, just shot four over. So I was out of it come Sunday completely, which was very disappointing. I was very, very surprised. I'll be honest, I did not watch the golf Sunday night. I had a very early start Monday. I was absolutely shocked when I fired up the iPhone, got the PGA Tour app up, and I read that Nick Taylor had won the Sony Open. Because when I went to sleep, I think he was like in tied 12th or something like that. So yeah, Nick Taylor wins the Sony Open. We were talking about conversion rates, weren't we, last week on the podcast. A lot of big players, a lot of whom are playing this week, by the way, who have played lots and lots and lots of tournaments, go off at ridiculously short odds and don't win. Nick Taylor has now won three of his last 40 starts on the PGA Tour.
That's a
lot. And he won at 125-1 you could have got with Unibet last Monday morning on Nick Taylor. Thoughts?
That's a serious win rate. I mean,
isn't it?
He disappears off the face of the planet, which is why his prices go to there. But is that not kind of, it's nice to be consistent, but it's nicer to have wins in the bank. 3 out of 40 is unbelievable.
That was his fifth PGA Tour victory. Now, Ricky Fowler, I believe, has got 6 total. I believe Mike Weir has 8. Now, whether that's the best Canadian ever on the PGA Tour, I haven't looked into it, but I know Mike Weir's got 8. Nick Taylor now has 5 career PGA Tour victories. He's a bit of a stud when he's in contention as well. Bit of a killer.
Mm.
I mean, what he did on that back nine, was it four or five straight birdies? And then makes a mess of a couple of short putts and then chips in for eagle on the 18. Just crazy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the players had to kind of come back to him eventually because, he was in the house and it required everyone else to not go past his number. But that's the case, as if we need it, that if you post a score, sometimes players just simply cannot get there. And he caught the eye a little bit, didn't he, statistically, because he'd finished, 7th and 7th, I think, the previous two attempts on the course. So there was something there, but I looked at his performance at the Century and there was nothing much there at all. But then if you look at how he's performed before his previous wins in the last few months and years, then generally there's not been a great deal to shout about the previous outing either. So
this is why you're getting the big prices, as Barry said. There's no there's no tapering up to. It's not Ricky Fowler tied 9th, tied 7th, tied 5th, tied 3rd, missed out on a playoff and then wins.
Yeah.
And you get him at 12-1.
Could you guys tweet?
Bang. Course kind of suits. It's one of those where you just got to keep backing him.
Yeah. Could you guys tweak the sheets so that Nick Taylor's miscuts show up as green, like the top tens do, but just specifically for him, would really draw the attention.
Nice and positive for Nick. Yeah, but yeah. It's a fair point, isn't it? You know, there's players that you need to consider, even if they are seemingly coming off the back of, you know, back of a poor or poorish performance. The fact that he'd played Kapalua was a positive, as we touched on last week. You know, there's a good proportion of winners at the Sony who've played the week before, and he just knocked the rust off and then came through. And ultimately, it was that one round, wasn't it? You know, he was in that slipstream with many a player. I know, Barry, you had Mac Meisner. I was on Lucas Glover. Both of them had a chance going into Sunday. I mean, Glover, for me, you talked about not watching it, Steve. I watched it up until the sixth, and then Glover starts hacking it around in the bunker at six.
Then you turned it straight off and went to bed.
And it's like triple bogey there. It's like, well, you know, he's never going to win. It's gone. It's, you know, at that point, it's adios. So, but yeah, and yeah, I know Meisner started well, Barry, didn't he, for you? And then
he was flying. And yeah, just he three-putt bogey on the ninth par five from less than 9 feet. Oh, really, man. Really just... it just knocks the wind out of your sails going into the back nine, and who knows what he could have done then. It would have been, you know, maybe a bit of a stretch for him to get to the 16 under, but there was good, really good chance of getting into the places. So that sucked.
You had him 12 places each way as well, deliberately, I did. Didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Needed 20 places each way or something like that. Anyway, I left.
I think it's now in the top 20 bit.
It was a painful week because Straka did what Straka did. I let Echeverria go from the week. I think I backed him the week before. Kind of similar thing, Steve. I didn't say it out loud that I was in a good position, but I thought I was in a good position, and then yeah, the things came falling down pretty badly. So I'm kind of keen to forget Hawaii and move on to this week.
Well, let's forget that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to throw some interesting pointers at you. Now, Corey Connors, he topped putting at the Century event, which we were all shocked by. He was back to his usual self last week. He was 139th out of 143 for putting at Sony Open. And you didn't back him, Barry, and he missed the cut at 14-1. So well That's done for that.
Thank you.
I was going to mention here, Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim last week at the Sony Open was first for tee to green. He was 141st for putting, so third worst. He missed the cut on the number. Just interesting facts that I found last week. I want to throw this one at you. Jesper Svensson, DP World Tour graduate, top 10 on his first ever PGA Tour event in Hawaii. So props to Jesper Svensson. And last thing here, two events on the PGA Tour, and I'm thinking Ryder Cup, chaps. We've had two Europeans contending. Thomas Dietrich at the Century, and last week, Stefan Jaeger at the Sony Open. You know, Dietrich or Jaeger, potentially for the Ryder Cup team, if they keep this kind of momentum going? Thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I think to get in or close to the team, you need to win something significant. I think you need to, potentially, if you're playing over in Europe or the DP World Tour, then you need to win multiple times, or you need to perform and contend at probably multiple majors to get the kind of points and the kind of status that's going to be required to make that team. We always have these kind of fringy stories and players who are, you know, battling for the 10th, 11th, 12th places. And, you know, a long way that continue because it adds some excitement as you go through. But ultimately, I don't think a Jaeger or a Dietrich is going to get a pick. And the chance of them making the automatics are slim. It's almost non-existent. So, yeah, it's a nice side story. And if someone comes through and has, you know, an absolutely fantastic career year and makes the team, then props to them. They deserve it, but not for me.
I think they're both a little bit higher caliber than previous batches of those quote unquote fringe players. A few percentage points more of a chance. Look, God, we all know how talented Dietrich is. If he just figures out how to just fall over the line, I mean, get his fingertip over the line on a Sunday, I think that could really unshackle him. I wouldn't hate having Jaeger as your 11th or 12th man. Like, he's a real gritty fighter, hits the ball a long way, and he can get crazy hot streaky with his scoring, which is pretty useful in a Ryder Cup environment.
And he bangs it a long way.
Yeah.
Hell of a long way.
Yeah, which would be
good
very
for a best page.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, maybe Donald will be keeping a little bit more of an eye on PGA Tour this year because it's in the States and because it's a deeper tour in terms of strength. If you finish like 35th in the, or if you're 35th in the overall rankings on the PGA Tour and you're 25th on the DP World Tour, which one gets heavier weighting?
I'm looking at the current American team. He's got Maverick McNealy in it, which is slightly galling, I thought. I doubt if he's going to be there.
Where do you think McNealy is? Where do you think McNealy is in the world rankings?
Oh, he's high. Mid-30s, something like that?
26th.
Oh, wow.
I was had to scroll through the top 100 when we got that question in from Matt. Oh, by the way, Matt, congrats on your first victory. That is a good one to get. But yeah, just a few interesting ones. Like, saw Maverick up there. Ram is down in 31st. I mean, we've all had Spieth in our head as a... But he just to point out where he's fallen to, he's 70th or 71st now.
Yeah.
He's an interesting story this year. If he's fit and healthy, that could be that could be an exciting one to watch.
I mean, if there's a man that's going to have to fire and fire pretty quickly, it's going to have to be Jordan Spieth.
Well, he's got his
first
major
of the
year.
Base camp completely in terms of qualification points, and clearly he's going to have to rely on a captain's pick potentially.
And
he'll be aiming, of course, for his beloved Augusta, right?
Yeah, there's another one. Zalatoris forward. Actually is another one who I think could have a decent year now if this fit and healthy and surgery worked. He's added 20 pounds of muscle for a bit more stability and hopefully less injury proneness. I think he's an interesting one to watch this year. For
wouldn't it be amazing if he came back to somewhere near his peak?
Yeah.
Right, let's start. DP World Tour, curtain raiser. The Hero Dubai Desert Classic. Paul, over to you.
Yeah, it feels like it's been ages, doesn't it, since the last proper DP World Tour event for me to cover. But yeah, we're back to some real action. We had the Team Cup last week, which is a nice gentle opener, I guess, but a nice hors d'oeuvre to the season. But the real competition, the real action starts here. It's a Rolex Series event, a field of 126, and we've got some superstars in town this week. Rory McIlroy, 4-1 favourite, four-time winner of the Dubai Desert Classic. Of course, that's where it all began for Rory when he won his first, back then, European Tour event back in the day. John Rahm making his debut this week, 11-2. Till Hatton, 9-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 11s. Victor Hovland, 16-1. Some cracking names at the top of this market. Adam Scott, 20-1. The jet setting Bob McIntyre, 22. Same price Rasmus Højgaard, 30-1 bar those players. So there's some real juice as you go down beyond that kind of level. If you can't see one of those top players getting the job done this week. Ball Sports, 8 places each way, standard this week. Betfred, Bet365, as ever, they both have their multiple options, so you can play 8 places each way or beyond, depending how you want to cut your cloth with Betfred and Bet365. Ladbrokes and Coral have gone out this week with a 10 place each way, 1/5 the odds market as standard. So plenty of options out there this week. Do shop about. There's some cracking combinations of each way places and prices this week, depending how you like to play it. Now, we're playing the Majlis course over at Emirates Golf Club in Dubai, as ever. It's a Carl Litton design, opened back in 1988. Much has changed in the region since then, which I'm sure they'll bang on about in the TV commentary during the course of the 4 days. Typical desert affair, 7,428-yard par 72. Exposed fairways, pretty speedy Bermuda Tiff Eagle greens. They relayed them in 2022, actually, the greens. The same strain of Bermuda Tiff Eagle. They've settled down nicely now, so not quite as bouncy as they were when they first were laid. And actually, as part of the work, they made the greens bigger as well. They're about a third bigger than they were previously. Still pretty flat. Still pretty much appeal to the players who aren't quite so good with the putter in general. The challenge here tends to be more for tee to green, actually. The back nine's longer than the front. Lots of scoring opportunities coming home, though. Three of the par fives on the back nine, a reachable par four as well. So plenty of players can make a score on the back nine when conditions allow. And it doesn't look like we're going to get anything untoward in the conditions this week. Dry, sunny temperatures, temperatures mid kind of 70s Fahrenheit, that's low 20s centigrade. So we kind of look in 21, 22, 23 centigrade. So maybe 73, 75 Fahrenheit. Pretty typical for this time of year. Winds generally light. It does tend to pick up a little bit in the afternoons here, but 10, 15 mile an hour. It's pretty much all I'm seeing in the forecast as a maximum in the afternoons right now. So, I expect scoring to be fairly good, fairly consistent with where we've been recently, which I'll touch on in a second. Last few winners here. Well, let's go back to 2017, keep things quite concise. Sergio Garcia won in 2017 at 20-1. Hao Tong Li the year after, 110-1. The aforementioned Bryson DeChambeau, 10-1, 2019. 2020 was Lucas Herbert at 200-1. Paul Casey, 25-1. Victor Hovland, 10-1. And then the last 2 years, both Rory McIlroy, 16-5, 7-2. So we had a real mix there of long prices, Hao Tong and Lucas Herbert, both three figures. And then the rest of the winners here have been pretty damn short. So feast or famine, and not a great deal in between, has been the order of the day here over the last few years. Now, if you look at the stats for those winners, traditionally, hit greens, make enough putts, that's fairly consistent as to how to get around this course. Last four winning scores, 17 under, 12 under, 19 under in 2023. That was a fairly soft year for Rory's win there. 14 under last year, a bit firmer. I'm expecting something similar to last year, I think. The conditions feel quite similar. It doesn't feel overly soft. I think they've generally tried to make this course a little bit more challenging from the days when it used to be 23 under par winning, which, we've discussed that ad nauseum, haven't we, with these extremely deep winning scores. I think I much prefer it when it's kind of 14, 15, 16, something in that bracket. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's where we get to this week. So a solid mid-score test. We've got lots of strokes gain data for this as well. There's a summary on the website. You've got the last 6 years' worth of data combined and aggregated by the players in the field. So do take a look at that if you're interested.
There are links in the description box for that, for the strokes gain rankings for both events. So they'll be in the description box of the podcast.
Excellent. Yeah, we do get a fair number of people looking at that data, so it's good to see. It does give you an indication of players that have consistently played well from tee to green, or consistently putted well on these greens, or whichever way you want to cut it and sort it. So, you can play with that data to your heart's content. If you were to summarise it, well, my summary would be every winner, all six of those winners, had finished top nine for strokes gained off the tee. And all of those winners had finished top seven for strokes gained tee to green on the week. So it's very much off the tee to green, ball striking test. I mean, even Lucas Herbert, he hit those numbers back in 2020, and that's really not where his strengths lie. So the week that he won, he was good from off the tee, he was good from tee to green. And the rest is history. I mean, for the record, Rory, back in 2023, he was second for off the tee and fourth for tee to green. Last year, first for strokes gained off the tee, second for strokes gained tee to green. It really is quite consistent. You get some events where the data kind of hops about a bit, but this course tends to appeal, and the same kind of players tend to do well here because it suits a certain type of player, which hopefully gives us a bit of a steer for this week, I think. In terms of recent form, I mean, if you go all the way back to Alvaro Quiroz back in 2011, then every winner had a top 10 in one of his previous 9 starts. The last 4 winners of this had a top 10 on their previous start. So the event coming into this, not necessarily the same year. Sometimes it would have been at the back end of the previous year. But the last 4 winners all had a top 10 coming into this. So recent form looks good. Course form looks strong too. I mean, Hao Tong Lee, 39th on debut, was pretty much the worst of the most recent winners here. Everyone else had a top 25 or better heading into this. In fact, you have to go back all the way to Richard Green in 1997 to find yourself a debutant winner of this event. Patrick Reed, a couple of years ago, came second. He pushed Rory really close, as you'll remember. Cam Young last year, he came here, played it for the first time, finished third, but Cam Young did what Cam Young does, and that's not to actually get over the line. And again, Rory won last year. So I think debutants can contend, debutants can place. Historically, debutants haven't found a way in recent years to get themselves over the line. So throw all that into the mixing pot and see where that takes you this week. I think it does feel like the kind of event that you can work out, and the kind of event that appeals to certain types of players. I think I did agonize over this, you know, with it being the first event of the season. You do have a lot longer to try and think about your strategy and your approach to this. And I guess the question for me, and the same question for anyone making trying to put a team of players together, a staking plan for this week, is what do you do with Rory? We talked about last week with Scotty where you could find markets where you go without Rory and without Scotty. You could go down that route. You could assume that he's not going to win and back other players accordingly. Or you could look at it and say, well, we've got Rory McIlroy here who's won this event 4 times. He's won over in the Earth Course 3 times as well. So that's 7 Dubai-based wins. In fact, he's won 3 of his last 6 visits to Dubai in general. He won in Dubai in November. We were on board, of course, as was most of the punting world, it would seem. That was his last start. He's won this the last 2 years. So he's potentially going for what would be a pretty rare hat-trick of consecutive wins this week. Now, can you oppose that? I sat there and threw it around in my mind for a long time and decided eventually, no. I think if you were to give Rory enough attempts in his current form on this course, in this point in time, would he justify a 7-2 or a 4-1 as it's still out there this morning price point? I think he would. I think he'd win enough times to make that a positive bet on average over a prolonged period of time. So I've backed it. I've gone in there with Rory. I've put half of my weekly stake win only on Rory. As I said, there's 4-1 out there. There was a little bit more on the exchange. There's a little bit more on the enhanced win only bets yesterday. Again, you play it how you decide to play it yourself, but 4-1 or thereabouts is the price. And I've backed him win only. Historically, you could argue that he's rusty first week out, but he put that to bed in 2023, a couple of years ago, when he won first time out. Could have won first time out last year. Actually, he played in Dubai, at the Dubai Creek course last year. Well, you remember he got pipped by Tommy Fleetwood, who finished birdie-birdie, and Rory found the water on the 72nd hole and didn't win that, but then came and won here the week after. So was playing some good golf, good enough to win the tournament anyway. I think he can hit the ground running. He's been seen on the premises from early Monday, practicing, grinding away on the range. His performance at the Earth Course was great. First for strokes gained tee to green, second for off the tee, second for approach. Long game looked imperious. And it's a huge year for Rory. I mean, we're talking about breakout years. You know, Rory doesn't need a breakout year because he's been so good and so strong for so much of his career. But, you know, for him to go forward and potentially win a major again and you know, everything that comes with having a fantastic year, I think this would set him up for what could be a splendid 2025. So, yeah, make no apologies. I'm just going straight in at the top with Rory. 6 points to win at, well, I'd say I took the enhanced win only bet yesterday with Bet365, which was a touch over 4-1. Now, I have backed 3 each way plays, all of them 70-1 or above, just for a bit of fun to go alongside my Rory bet. So I'll bring you boys in. Any sub 50 or 50-1 shorter players in this field for you, Barry?
I'm also going to back the Rory win. Don't need to say anything more on that. My other bet is, and I 55-1, thereabouts. I haven't placed it yet. I'm just figuring out the right bookmaker to do it with.
Give us that while you're talking.
Yeah. It's Johan Veerman. Last outing a few weeks ago, gets his win, 35th, 8th, 16th here. Can hit it long enough. Exceptional greens and regulation, decent putter. I think that win he'd been tapping on all last year finally clicked, and yeah, hopefully he just takes it forward and goes on to a good week here.
Yeah, he did get that win in the end, and I know you'd been supporting him a bit prior to that as well, which was probably pretty galling when he got that victory at the end of last year.
I'm not that bitter. I'm not Steve. Give me a break.
He's not gone onto your post-it note for getting the win when you weren't on board.
Nah, if I need to post a note to anybody, I'll just put them onto Steve's. He seems to like that kind of negative environment.
get his vitriol. Yeah. What about you, Steve? Any 50 or shorter players?
He currently sits second in European team qualification for the Ryder Cup. I know it's early doors, but not a bad place to start, is it? He's got a plethora of top 10 finishes across the Middle East, across Desert Golf. He pushed Rory all the way at the DP World Tour Championship. Rasmus Højgaard. I managed to get him Monday afternoon, 8 places each way with Bet365 via their each way extra facility for 25-1. That's who I've gone for.
Yeah. Rasmus could go well.
If he actually won this week, that pretty much solidifies his place in the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
Before he goes on his PGA Tour adventure.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they both of them don't make it, to be fair, the Højgaard brothers. Before I got to this week, I was seriously considering Nicolai for this. And he pulled out of the Team Cup last week with illness, and you know, it's a bit patchy as to where, you know, what he's doing, how he is, and, you know, how badly that may have affected him. It could have just been a sniffle, could have been something a bit more significant. And, you know, if he's coming in off the back of, you know, more fluid-type symptoms, it might be quite difficult to hit the ground this week. I really toyed with giving him a chance this week, but I didn't. I may well live to regret that. So, yeah, we'll see as the event approaches what the noise is around Nicolai and whether he's in the best of health for this week or not. The three I've gone for each way, I've gone for Keita Nakajima at 70-1. We talked earlier on and last week, of course, about players actually being able to win a golf tournament, and Nakajima's won 4 times on the Japan Tour since 2021. He's only 24 now, so he's fairly prolific for a young guy. 4 straight winner of the Indian Open last year. And, of course, he was making his debut that week, making his debut this week, of course. But he's got UAE form line of 4-13-7, with that 7th coming at the Earth Course, again on debut back in November. progressive form at the end of 2020 form too. 27th in the Genesis, 13th Abu Dhabi, 7th, as I said, at the DP World Tour Championship, and 4th at the JT Cup back in Japan to close his year. So he's active quite late into December. I think Nakajima could hit the ground running here and surprise a few on his course debut. I've also backed Alex Fitzpatrick, 100 to 1. As I said, there's some really tasty mid prices out there, simply because the top of the market is so heavy with the big household names. Alex Fitzpatrick kept himself active again up until the middle of December. He's flashed some form in the final few events of the season without kind of putting four rounds together, but perhaps that's just a little bit of late season fatigue kicking in there. Had a few weeks break and then coming back to start his season here in Dubai. 19th at Leopard Creek on his last start, 5th to halfway. And I know you have to give the stats that come out of those events a little bit of a pinch of salt, but if taking the numbers at face value, 2nd for strokes gained off the tee, 12th for tee to green, looks like his long game was in pretty good shape. 16th last year on debut, 7th going into Sunday. And putted well, 11th for greens in regulation, 4th for ball strike. And that was decent effort for Alex on his debut attempt at the Majlis course. And I think he could push on from that this week at 100 to 1. And the other one I backed is Andy Sullivan, who is still available at 125 to 1. It's slightly shorter if you want to take the extended places, but a three-figure price for a player who I think could feature here is pretty tasty. Again, progressive form at the end of 2024, 27th, 24th, 14th, and then 7th. He's the raw stats come out of his long game look really good as well. So he's striking the ball nicely, Andy. And he's returning to a part of the world where he's competed well in the past. 2nd, 4th and 6th here at the Majlis course over the years. 67-67 to open last year. So he was first round leader, 2nd going into the weekend, and then dropped away quite considerably, but still showed that he can play the course. 2nd and 4th at the Fire course in Dubai as well. Should have won one of those. 2nd at the Earth course, of course, for the DP World Tour Championship. That was back in 2015. And he's got a couple of top 10 since then as well. So whenever he's come to Dubai, he has, over the years, he's put in some really strong performances. Might not have quite enough to win this event. It's a bit of a stretch against some of those names at the top, but could well place and potentially one to look out for first round lead as well. It does like a fast start, Andy. So when the tee times come out, we'll see how that fits for Andy Sullivan as well. But that completes my team. So Sullivan, Alex Fitzpatrick, Nakajima, and a win only on Rory at the top. Any other longer prices for you, Barry?
No, just keep it clean for now with those two.
Cool. What about you, Steve?
Paul Waring. 80 to 1, 8 places each way with Bet365. Winner in Abu Dhabi. Went on and finished 16th at the DP World Tour Championship the week after. Was 3rd here in 2019. After finishing 6th the week before at the season-opening Abu Dhabi Championship. So he was unbeaten last week in the Team Cup. I think he tied the four ball on the Friday, and then from that point on, his team and himself in the singles won every match. So he's in good nick, is Paul Waring. So I'll take him.
Yep. No, the game, his game style suits the Emirates, absolutely. Yeah, it seems to have turned a corner a little bit, doesn't he? Mm. And that win has got to give him a bit of confidence. See how he pushes on.
See how he goes on. Mm. I mean, he won his singles. Where are we looking? 4-3 over Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson. So he's in good nick. So yeah, Paul Waring. Right, American Express. We've got Desert Golf Chaps. We've hit the American mainland on the PGA Tour. Xander has fantastically withdrawn. He was the favourite. He was heading up every statistic known to man. He's a WD, along with Denny McCarthy overnight. So if you've had a bet on either of those two, you will be getting a full refund and you can reinvest your cash. Now, the American Express, this is the old Bob Hope lottery, as regular podcast listeners will know. It is a lottery. It's a complete and utter lottery. And if anyone tells you any different, and I say this each and every year, they are not telling you the truth. Some instant numbers here, just to kind of bring that to the fore. Going back to 2017 and Hudson Swafford, who won for the first time here, nobody within the world's top 96 has won this tournament, apart from one John Rahm, who was third and fifth in both 2018 and 2023, and the favourite for both tournaments. So going for big names here might not be the strategy. Nick Dunlap took that to extremes last year, didn't he? He was an amateur. He was actually ranked 4,129th in the world. And he won this at 350-1. Yeah. If I add up the last five renewals of this golf tournament and just go through the winning prices, it adds up to 160-1. If I go back to 2010, 146-1.
And that includes John Rahm in there.
And that includes two John Rahm victories at 13-2 and 10-1. The shortest price on this particular three-course rota, 2016, the first time they played it, Jason Duffner was 40-1. So that, to me, suggests throw everything out the window and just, firstly, don't go crazy with your staking plan. I don't know if you noticed, Paul, I've shaved 4 points off my usual staking plan.
Yeah, quite concerned.
Because, you know, that's going to be 4 points that I'm going to be up with at the end of the year that I haven't wasted. Yeah. That's the way I'm looking. And I'm going to try and do that a lot more this year, especially when Sepp Straka throws in triple bogeys on a par three. Although I was extremely tempted on Sepp again, and I know the 66-1 has disappeared, but whether that's because he's been backed or whether that's because Xander withdrew, it's probably a bit of both. But anyway.
Barry's hoovered that up.
I'm sure that Barry's on him, and for good reason. Three-course rota. The main course they play twice is the stadium course. That's a Pete Dye design. So Pete Dye form isn't a bad thing to look at in terms of other courses. We've also got the tournament course, which is a Jack Nicklaus design. And, of course, La Quinta Country Club, which they play each of those once. These courses were the 48th, 49th and 50th most difficult out of 51 courses last year, which would suggest that they were the second, third and fourth easiest courses on the PGA Tour. Of course, we now know that the Plantation course at Kapalua is always going to be the easiest course on the PGA Tour, as we saw a couple of weeks ago with Hideki winning at 35 under, I think it was. So basically a birdie fest. I'm seeing nothing in the weather to suggest that that will be any different. Dunlap won this last year at 29 under par. John Rahm, 27 under par in 2023. Just looking, it looks like, I mean, this is played in the Californian desert. I'm trying to remember. Palm Springs, so basically technology center in California. I think about 28 under. Just looks a little bit colder than usual on Sunday, which might just temper the scoring by a shot or two. So 27, 28 under, I think, is the winning total required. Game shape here, I'm not even really going to go into it because it could be anybody. You know, Siwoo Kim wins it, Andrew Landry, who probably Paul and I could probably hit it longer off the tee. And then you get big hitters like Dunlap, Rahm, Hudson Swafford isn't exactly short off the tee. So, yeah, it could be anybody. It's just basically whoever gets the most eagles and birdies this week. And it's not easy to find the winner here. 13 under was the cut line last year. It's a pro-am, the first three rounds, so one round on each course will be played with an amateur, and then thankfully they disappear on Sunday. That's nothing against the amateurs, but at least the pace of play will be quicker on Sunday. Anything I've missed?
No, I think that's a good, concise summary, Stephen.
Short desert golf course. The greens are all Bermuda, but they are overseeded with Poa trivialis. So that's the first time we've seen that this year. So it's actually Tiff Dwarf Bermuda, but they're all overseeded with Poa trivialis, which is something we see more and more now on the PGA Tour. Very similar greens to what you will get at the Waste Management Phoenix Open in a few weeks' time. Correlating course form, I'm being honest with you guys, I don't see a lot really. It's just difficult. The only course that kind of correlates for some unknown reason, and it could be the Tiff Dwarf element, although I think they've changed the green surfaces there now, is the RSM Classic at the McGladrey, where you take Siwoo, Landry, Adam Long, Hudson Swafford, all that sort of top 12, top 15 finishes there. But apart from that, I can't tell you a golden course that fits all. It just doesn't. So I've gone for four, a thinned down team. Clearly, prices have changed because Xander decided to withdraw. I don't know why they enter these tournaments, these big, big name players, if they've got no real intention of playing, but there you go. My first off the rank, I got 33-1. These are all Monday prices, of course. 33-1, I got Ladbrokes, and I took 10 places each way because sometimes on these leaderboards, it's a bit like the Sony Open last week, and Barry will tell you that with Matt Meisner. One shot can make a hell of a difference to either not getting a each-way return or not getting a part return or whatever how it works. But I've got 10 places each way with Ladbrokes. Max Grazerman. Grazerman is going to win soon on the PGA Tour. And something like this, I can see it. If you look at recent tournaments, and I'm going back to the 3M Open, he shot -8, -10, -7, -7, and -10 last time out at Kapalua. So he can get these incredibly spiky, low-scoring rounds. He's just trending. And he played here last year. A lot of these graduates now, of course, so these are second season PGA Tour pros, are now going back to courses that they played for the first time last year. Well, Grazerman, which would have been his PGA Tour, I think he might have played the Sony Open and missed the cut, I can't quite remember, but he was 28th here after 54 holes last year. Forward 12 months, I can't see why Max Grazerman wouldn't be in a far stronger position come Sunday this time around. So Max Grazerman is my shortest. 33-1 with Ladbrokes 10 places each way. Now, I've no idea who you guys have gone for. What prices are we looking at for you, Paul, and for you, Barry?
I've got two short players, both of them shorter than your first, and then I've got one who's triple digits.
You're brave. Go for it.
The two short ones I backed, Sam Burns. I was pleased to get 20-1 yesterday before his price got decimated by Xander withdrawing. It's pretty, you know, just the words of our podcast last week ringing around my ears about players who can actually win. And Burns has won five times since 2021, so he can win. He didn't win last year, I got granted, but prior to that, he'd been pretty strong. Found some form at the end of last year as well. Fifth at the St. Jude, second at the BMW Championship, solid 13th at the Tour Championship, and then a big gap until he played the Century the week before last. Opened with a 72, which we know is never going to be enough around there, and then shot 22 under for his final three rounds and finished 8th, so that caught the eye. And he absolutely loves it round here. 18th, 6th, missed cut, 11th, 6th from his five attempts. Shot a 61 last year in the second round to lead at halfway. And some strong numbers coming out of his game at Kapalua, 15th for tee to green, 4th rough of the tee. And that's for a player who can putt incredibly well. If his long game's starting to fire, then that's going to be good. If he gets that old magic wand going with his long game performing, then that could be a recipe for success. And the other one's Wyndham Clark. Now, I'd actually written that he's the second highest ranked player in the field, but of course he's not now. He's the highest ranked player in the field now that Xander's gone. Yet he sits, what, now 7th in the betting? For me, there's a clear disconnect between the player and the potential and the quality that Wyndham Clark's got and where he's been ranked in this field. World number 7, of course. So I'm taking a chance on him. I got 33-1 yesterday. He's not been nibbled in that badly since Xander's gone out of the field. 30-1 is still available right now at 8:30 in the morning on UK time on Tuesday. Decent up to the Tour Championship. 7th at the St Jude, 13th BMW, 8th at the Tour Championship itself. Nothing much after that, but 15th at the Century was a solid start to the year. He shot a 9-under 64 in the second round, which suggests to me that his shooting boots are not too far away. And some solid form here as well. 5th to halfway in 2019, 13th overall back in 2022. And we know he can go low as well. He shoots 60 to win the Pebble Beach last year, and that weather-affected event. I think Wyndham is a better bet than his price and his position in the market would suggest for me. And the other one I've got is 3 figures, which I'll touch on a bit later.
What about you, Barry? I'm intrigued. By the way, Sam Burns, that'd be the one that I would take at the top. I think he was in the final group here last year with Justin Thomas and Nick Dunlap. And Nick Dunlap beat both of them. That just shows you the craziness of Nick Dunlap's performance as an amateur 12 months ago to beat Justin Thomas and Sam Burns to a title in the final group.
Seriously impressive.
Seriously impressive. Barry, what about you? Where are you drawing your line in the sand?
I've got one bet on so far, and he's one of yours who you're copycatting me this week, so he's definitely dead, but
talk the punters through it, because then I don't have to. But yes,
no, you did way more research on this than me, and no, fresher I just copied research you. Based on last week. Just a super impressive young talent, and kind of just trying to get a little bit random this week because this tournament is random without putting a load of bets on. I'm kind of holding back a bit. I might do something in running. It's just, how do you predict if somebody's going to go in a shootout? How do you predict who can separate themselves in the fields that little bit? That's really tricky. It's one or two micro things that happen for more birdies to happen or birdie juice. So yeah, I'm just going to hold back. Feels a bit trickier to chop the field down this week.
Mac Meisner. Did you actually mention his name?
I probably didn't. No,
Mac Meisner. I don't know you did you?
No, yeah, Mac Meisner.
I got 90-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way extra on Meisner. I didn't realise until started researching, he's Matt McCarty's best friend. And we know that McCarty won end of last year, didn't he? And he's like his second PGA Tour event after getting promoted from the Corn Ferry. Hey, those kind of little, just those little intricacies inspire people with stuff that you only tend to realise this stuff afterwards, don't you? But he's playing some great golf from Mac Meisner. I'll tell you what, the performance that just got me really hooked. He was 36 and 54 hole leader at last year's Barracuda Championship. Now, they played that in thin air in California at Old Greenwood. And in the end, he was pipped for that title by one Nick Dunlap. And we were on him that week. That was, I think that's, is that always the week now of the Open Championship? It's gone,
yeah.
We're on Dunlap. So I think Meisner, you just look at where he plays well. He's from Dallas, Texas. He played really well last week and then let you down with some abysmal putting in the final round. But yeah, Meisner, I'm on at 90-1. Bet 3, 6, 5, 8 place each way. I've gone for a horse for the course. He's on a major medical extension. I thought when I was writing this up, bearing in mind, you write a lot of these tips up blind on price. I thought I was going to get a far, far bigger price than I actually got. But I'll take it. In his career, his highest tournament for income is this. He's earned $903,000 over the years here. He's finished 14th, 3rd, 14th and 4th here on this three-course rota. And he was 30th last week at the Sony Open. He's on a major medical extension. He hasn't earned enough points, but he's on track to get his full paying privileges back. He's been absolutely ravaged by injuries. And I can remember backing him many, many, many years ago where he was going off at prices as short as 25-1. He was going to be the next big thing. Bud Cawley. I've taken 90-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way on Bud. I got one triple digit. Is it bigger than yours, Paul, or smaller than yours? I'd have thought it's smaller than yours. It's 110-1.
It depends how you play it on mine. But yeah, I've backed Jesper Svensson, who you mentioned earlier. 100-1 if you're taking the extra 8 place options that are out there, which is how I've played it. 10th last week at the Sony Open. On course debut. And I think the point with that is that that really doesn't suit Jesper Svensson. He's going to be much more suited to lower scoring or bigger hitting tracks. Now, this isn't necessarily a bigger hitter track, but we've seen all sorts, every shape and size win the American Express or its various incarnations over the years. So I don't mean that is any kind of handicap or detriment to his chances this week. I think the fact that it will come here and it's a relatively straightforward assignment should be something that's positive. And he's got decent desert form, second in Bahrain last year, 7th at the Earth Course, in decent company for the DP World Tour Championship at the back end of last year as well. 4th for strokes gained putting last week. I think you're going to need to putt. You know, as Steve said, you've got to get a seriously low total here, so you can't come in with a dead flat putter. It's not going to work. And these players can come and perform, I think, and hit the ground running. We saw it with Matthew Pavon last year, didn't we? He finished 7th at the Sony and then won the Farmers Insurance Open a couple of starts later, which comes next week, I believe. So Svensson can take some inspiration from that. And yeah, if he can improve on 10th from last week and get us a place at 100-1, then I'd be happy with that.
Last one from me, Michael Kim, the sort, in my mind. He's got one PGA Tour victory. He shot 27 under to win the John Deere Classic. He closed 2024. I do love Michael Kim on X. He's very, very insightful, well worth following. He explains just how the pro golf game works. But you've got to say, he's kind of turned his career around. He's 5th at the Shriners, 30th at the WWT, 12th at the Bermuda, 11th at the RSM, remember the link I mentioned, and then last week, of course, misses the cut. Great. Gives us 110-1 this week. No problem with that. He actually missed the cut on the number, and if you actually look at his Friday score, it was in the top 10 of scores for the day at Wailea. Now, I don't see a blustery mid-score Wailea test being Michael Kim's strong point. He wants something crazy low. So Michael Kim, 110-1 with Bet365, 8 place each way. I like that. He was 6th here last year. And he was 2nd after 36 holes. Right, Barry, have you got any more? I mean, we could be plunging the depths here, just throwing players out there for fun, because it is that kind of event. Is there anyone out there that you're tempted to put up, or you are going to put up?
I think I'm gonna add Ben Griffin. Just been tracking him a bit recently, and then one long shot I have is Jacob Bridgman.
So tell us about Jacob.
So the thing I'm just looking for a hot somebody who can really get roasting hot with a putter. He was 7th in strokes game putting for last season. Last week missed the cut, but that's just knocking the rust off. I think he was 67-71, so nothing dreadful there. Missed the cut by one. Onto this week and just see, can he catch fire with the putter and roll in the birdies? So 175-1, 8 places.
Interesting.
You just don't know, do you? I did have a look at Matt McCarty again. Trouble is, you don't get many. Well, I didn't find anyone apart from John Rahm, who's clearly highly elite, that's won sort of within the last 6 months and then come here and won this. But with the list of winners here, it's hardly surprising, is it? Ryan Gerrard kind of caught my... I know Paul's mentioned him over the course of this podcast. He played very well last week. Ryan Gerrard on the Sony Open. He's sitting currently at 200-1. I'm not telling anyone to back these players. I'm just kind of throwing names out. It's that kind of event. Don't know. I'm just glad I've saved myself 4 points on my staking plan.
You might have the winner, Steve.
Good to have the winner. Well, they're my four best guesses at it. So, yeah. Right, are we done?
Yeah, all done this end.
Yeah, if we keep recording, Barry, I'm just going to keep picking players, so stop now. Okay.
This is the trouble. I mean, you could have a portfolio of 20 players, and after Thursday, they're all sort of tied for 121st. They've shot one under par. It's one of those. Well, I hope your bets go well, gentlemen.
Best luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best luck to listeners. If you are watching this or listening to this on YouTube, it would be fantastic if you could subscribe to the channel. And we will be back next week. I believe I've got the Farmers Insurance Open.
Yeah, Wednesday start, I think.
Even better. How wonderful. And what have you got, Paul?
It's the Raz El Khaimah Championship next week. It's Thorbjørn Olafsson defending.
We look forward to it. See you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System.